You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to yet another episode of the podcast known as Shangela. And it's appropriately titled Shangela because that's my name. So I'm so glad that you guys are here and listening because, honey, today, oh, we are going in. The Grand Dame Duchess from RuPaul's Drag Race, not only season 5 and All Stars 2. She's made notable appearances on many other seasons, as well as her own show on Netflix's Dancing Queen. She's a makeup icon, mogul, and also the Texas-sized Barbie, my drag mother, friend, brother, sister, homie from around the corner, from the mosquito. That's a long intro, ain't it? Alyssa Edwards is here with me today.
Oh my gosh, I wanted you to keep going. I was actually entertained. I was sitting over here going, dang, I am all of that.
Yeah, and you are. You know you are.
Well, hey, everybody out there listening, thank you guys for tuning in. This is going to be so much fun. When I found out, Shangela, that you had this podcast, I was offended I wasn't the opening act. But I said, let me let her go ahead and get it together, get the gig tight, nice and right before mama rolls through. But I'm here. We are in Edmonton.
Yes, we are.
Okay, we done traveled the show all the way over here to Canada.
Yeah, we're international. We're coming to you from Edmonton, Canada right now, well north of the border, honey, looking around for Brooklyn Heights. Is she here? I don't see her yet. She must not be here. She's not here right now.
Oh, she's still over there cashing those checks, honey. She's still living on that cloud nine from her RuPaul's Drag Race. That was a stunning finale with the point she revealed.
Yeah, now you
shout
knew
out
her,
to Brooklyn.
You knew Brooklyn beforehand too, right? Where did you first know Brooklyn Heights from?
I met Brooklyn back in the pageant circuit. You know, gosh, this must have been like, mid-2000s, early.
Yeah, she was, what pageant system did you know her from? Was she always in Continental? Because she's a former Miss Continental, right?
She is. And she came on the scene and, I mean, the gal went like a tornado, honey, a Canadian storm. She stormed in because she won Miss Continental, I believe, her second attempt.
And you've been to Miss Continental. I never danced back up for you at Miss Continental.
Miss Continental, yeah.
But you have, how many times did you go to Continental?
I went to Miss Continental 2 times, and both times it was real shaky. I had mistakes that, you know, it's like anything in the wonderful world of entertainment, when you're an entertainer, it's those mistakes that you don't prepare for that you're like, no, girl, that ain't going to happen. And then it happens.
But girl, let me tell you, looking back, and we're going to talk a lot about pageants as well, because that's, I think, what really brought you and I together. Mm-hmm. And I want to go back through that journey. But in looking at Miss Continental, when I look at that, the talents that you did there, and talents in across the board, all the pageants, you really did set the standard for high energy, professional dance, fully thought out, like
conceptual choreographed performances.
What were your 2 Continental talents?
The first year I went, I did a contemporary piece with the park bench, and it was inspired from the movie The Notebook.
Yeah,
it was
that's
this love story.
Yes. That's yes. One of the song.
Actually, one of my favorites. And a funny story about that, you know, if you go and watch it on YouTube, it's, oh my gosh, it's so old. I had 2 rehearsals with this boy. We connected instantly.
Who was the boy?
It was Brandon Thomas.
From So You Think You Can Dance?
Nope. Brandon was from, at that time, New York. He has now traveled in Gloria Estefan's show, one of the principal dancers.
Yes.
Amazing. He's taught at my studio. You know, not only is he a great performer, choreographer, but he's just a good person with a beautiful spirit.
And y'all only had 2 rehearsals?
We had 2 rehearsals. And the funny thing is, we didn't have a park bench. And you know the House of Edwards, honey. You know your brothers,
ma'am,
and sisters. They was not going to let their mother go up on stage in Chicago, her first appearance in Miss Continental, without a park bench. The next thing I know, it was literally about, I would say, 5 talents before mine. They come running up to the back door. Mama, we got a park bench. Where did you get that park bench, I asked? From the Chicago park. lady was sitting on it waiting for a fare. They said, ma'am, can you please change benches? It wasn't bolted down. They put that bench.
Girl.
No words. Let me not stop telling these stories on this podcast. My kids done borrowed. They didn't steal. They borrowed park benches.
Hijacked it, girl, from the park system. Hijacked it. You know what? That's what you got to do at the talent, at the pageants, though, in order to win. That was one of yours. I love that one. That's the one. If you guys go on YouTube and check it out, it's the one Alyssa singing, I just want to rock your soul.
That's the one. Song? Oh, my gosh.
It was so good. And you were doing monologues Rachel McAdams.
She was an actress. Honey, she was an actress. She was a performer. Oh, that was
What was the other continental that you did?
I went back 2 years later, and I placed sixth place both times, which is really an accomplishment, you know. Some of the most loveliest in the world, you know, now that we have a Miss France, and you know, it's geared towards more of a trans woman, I would say.
The continental pageant system.
Yes, because there's like the bathing suit, but I don't want to discount the you know, or discount the boy entertainers like Brooklyn, mm-hmm. because, you know, honey, we can throw on a Nasha Lopez from RuPaul's Drag Race.
Also won continental, yeah.
We can throw us on a, you know, bathing suit, honey, and come stomping out down the runway just as fabulous. And I think for me, what I was so proud of is that category always made me very nervous. And I missed the top five both years by 1 point. Top five is where they narrow it down, and they have onstage question and answer, which usually is my strongest category, unless I start talking about Dalmatian dogs, and then it just, you know, spirals down into a black hole. But it was a great experience. I had a very good time.
What was the second continental talent?
Oh, Work
talent?
Me Down Down.
That that's was the hot bitch.
Work Me Down Down with Miss all thing. The dancers from Chicago, and so much fun.
Yeah.
The boys in the zoot suits. I mean, it was just gay and fabulous.
Going to a pageant, what was your favorite category to watch or to be in?
Oh my gosh, I'm not a good audience member because I want to be on stage. I was born to be there. I love the adrenaline, the excitement of being backstage right before they call your name and your number. And, you know, it's all the rehearsing and the momentum.
But if you, okay, so let's say categories, question, answer, talent, gown, and sometimes presentation.
But
what's
I would say
your
my
favorite,
favorite
one to
okay.
sit and watch? If you had to pick a night to go, which one are you going to see?
Oh, I'm definitely going to watch talent.
Yes.
I mean, I can flip through a magazine to see the evening gowns and the bathing suits. I could see a photo, you know, but the talent, I want to be able to feel the energy. I want to be able to look in the performer's eyes. I want to see that excitement. I want to recognize that.
Is there a legendary talent, Alyssa, that ever happened or went down that sticks out in your mind from all, no matter the system, any pageant system, anytime? Was there ever a talent that you were like, oh my God, that inspired me so much?
That I've seen live or
yes.
on a video.
Live or in a video.
Oh, okay. Oh, goodness. I remember seeing Erica Norell's Star Wars talent. My very first time going to Miss USA, and it was at the Adams Mark Hotel downtown Dallas, and I never seen anything like that. It just looked like it was straight out of a Disney theme park. It was just down to the detail and the costuming, the choreography, the execution of the choreography. It was definitely something that said, this is what you need to be doing. It was like, you know, I don't want to say a calling, but I think it was calling me. And I was actually backup dancing with the late and great Sahara Davenport.
Oh, you backup for Sahara.
Me and her were backup dancing for Victoria West.
Okay.
But we were there together, and we looked at each other, and we're like, you know, at that point, I knew I was a young baby queen, and I was getting into the pageants. I came like a Texas tornado really quick. I came up really quick in that circuit. But I was very determined and disciplined to come up quick.
You know, in Drag Race, a lot of times they go, oh, she's a pageant queen. Oh, Lord, she's a pageant queen. And a lot of times pageant queens get a bad rap on Drag Race. Mm-hmm. Do you agree with that? Like, what are your thoughts when you see that coming from a pageant system and a pageant background yourself? What do you think that pageants hurt people going into RuPaul's Drag Race or help them?
I think, you know, here's the thing. I think there's several different types of entertainers in the industry. And I think people, when going back, way back, you know, to Miss Thing in that good old pageant where she said she was beautiful, but she wasn't beautiful tonight.
Oh, yes. The one that Aja did and for, you know, Snatch Game.
They are re-releasing that.
Oh,
in a
really?
4K, yes. I just seen the promo for it last night. And, you know, these pageants have been, you know, around. Well, let's even just separate and talk about, you know, I grew up watching Miss Texas, you know, Miss America and Miss USA, and it was almost like a family affair. I think people on Drag Race are intimidated, you know, a little bit by pageantry because they feel like, oh, well, the queen's very cookie cutter and very competitive. Mm-hmm. And some people are like, I want to watch Drag Race for the entertainment aspect rather than just the competition. And not the intensity that I think people feel that pageant queens come with that. You know, a pageant queen is someone that is very prepared, very well thought out. And where we see on Drag Race, when you're in a room with a mix of characters, sometimes it comes across a little stiff. I can even say that about myself, you know, or a little rigid. Mm-hmm. And then you're afraid of looking like silly or, you know, stupid, which could be fun, especially in these types of events and overly competitive. And I think, you know, there's a couple different types of competitors. And for me, it's more of the adrenaline. Mm-hmm. It's the rush. It's the feeling of, look, I have an assignment. I want to prepare for this. I want to be my very best. I think, and this also goes into my life with the dance studio, you know, with Beyond Belief. It's kind of like that when you have a rhyme and a reason to go to work, you know, you're like, okay, I'm getting a paycheck. Well, you have to look beyond that and go, it's not about the trophy. It's not about the crown. It's about the journey. It's all the work that we put into this. And for me, that's why I've always loved competing. It's just a part of my, you know, of my makeup and definitely my blood.
Well, pageants brought you and I together, okay? So we're going to go back, and here I am.
This we are back.
Oh, baby. We're going back. Dallas, Texas, okay? In early years, we won't give a year. We're just going to say early years.
Okay.
And you and I, because we're both, like, pretty much the same age, around the same age, and we're in the club. And this is at the Roundup. Now it's called S4 in Dallas, but it was a Roundup saloon. No, not the Roundup.
It was called the Village Station. Yes.
Thank you, girl. Ooh, memories. My memory getting foggy. So I'm out there dancing on the dance floor. And I remember you came up to me and you said, Who do you dance for?
Uh-huh.
And I said, I don't dance for anyone. You said, uh-huh. Yeah, you dance for me now. Come by the studio.
Yes. I was like, oh my gosh. There is this, you know, kid out here, big hair, big personality, and, you know, I remember this. Oh, my gosh, I remember this. And I remember you coming to the studio. We would rehearse at my studio, Mesquite, late night. And at this time, DJ, you were working in corporate.
Yeah, I was working for TGI Fridays, yeah.
And you always had, you needed to get there because you always had a hard time out.
Yeah,
like, I got to work in the morning. So y'all, skip the kiki, skip the talking and the chatter. Let's get up, let's rehearse, and you got to go. And it was so funny because, you know, I never got the inkling or the idea that you were even interested in drag. It was like, you were so good at backup. People want, you know, after they seen you, they were like, we want to hire him to be on stage with us. You brought that energy. You were committed. And
I wanted to be on the front row. I would fight to be on the
front row. You were the team captain, honey, the team leader. Okay.
That was so much fun though. I remember those times of us at the dance studio. And even though I had to be out, you know, to go to work in the morning, I remember the group was so different than my other group of friends that I was hanging around with, because I'd never been a part of like an artist group, like a dance troupe. Poi, our friend Poi, was a cheer coach.
Tedrick.
Tedrick was
cheer.
Cheer as well. Like, just, it was like different drag entertainers. Asia would be there. Layla O'Hara would be there. Uh-huh. And all of us would just sit and like powwow and dance. And I remember this, you would teach a little bit, and then you'd have other stuff going on with the dance studio. So you'd be like, y'all just keep going, pick it up, I'll be right back.
Study it, rehearse the movement, get it in your head, okay? It's muscle memory, let's set it on your body.
Baby, let's get it together. 1, 2, 3, baby, where's the music mix, baby? Where's the music?
Oh my gosh, yes. Those were the times.
They were.
Those late nights, you know, those rehearsals that brought us all together, turned us into family.
Yeah.
Those memories are embedded. And my, you know, my book of life. I'll never forget that, because you know that's where you start, and that's where you start building that family bond.
Well, one of my favorite memories is when we traveled to Memphis, Tennessee.
Oh Lord!
You were doing Miss Gay America, and this was your year. You told me, baby, this is my year.
This is it.
You
I had was a crowning. Claiming it.
Yeah. Oh no, you had a crowning song. Do you remember? Do you remember what
Wild
it was?
Wild Horses.
Yes. Yes.
We listened to Wild Horses. We drove that year. I rented that that SUV. We got in that car and we drove. And at this time, you know, DJ's, you know, a boyfriend, other half, was my dresser.
Yes, Jared.
So it was like Jared. So we would load up in this car, one big family. We head off to Memphis. And I had probably played that song well over 50 times.
Oh my God, Alyssa, we wanted to kill you. We were like, Alyssa, please, can we listen to the radio? I need to get these
I
words.
I thought if I listened to the crowning song, I would feel that moment, and it would inspire me and motivate me to really just keep that laser point, you know, focused throughout the competition. Because, I mean, let's all face it, my ADHD can swerve me off track in a minute.
That's why we didn't let you drive, Mama. We put you in the passenger side. Yes.
Okay.
But, you know, I remember when we got there, and, you know, the pageant thing, it means a lot to me, because it was how we first began putting our bond together as friends and as family. And being there in Memphis, okay, and you were we knew you were going to win. The talent was lovely. It was good luck. We had the dancers. We had those see-through,
scrims,
like cellophane screens, remember? All that. We had our costumes. We had glitter on the face. We were ready. We were done. And I remember they started calling the top five. No, they'd already called the five. Now they're calling the winners. And they called third runner-up. And then they called second runner-up. And they said, second runner-up, Alyssa Edwards.
Oh, my God. Baby, the world, honey, had done, the clouds had done caved in and fell down on top of me. And the funny moment, oh my God.
This is why it's one of my favorite moments.
The funny moment is when they were calling me out as the second alternate. You all got to imagine this. I had my hair down. It was lovely, soft and bodied. Just a nice little body wave in it. Just and bouncy. No. Let me back up. My hair was in an updo this year.
It was brown.
What was in my hair in an updo? Because I tried to sweep it off my shoulder and there was no hair there.
The hair was, oh, you know why? Because it was pulled back.
It was yanked back
and then the hair was long down the back.
And they called me out for second alternate. And when I tell y'all, and if anybody knows me or Shangela, they know we can't really hide how we feel.
Not in the facial expressions.
And I had looked in to my right and to my left, and I was stunned. You would have really thought, baby, shook. I literally was shook.
Yeah, I know the feeling.
And I walked real slow to grab my flowers and plaque. And I said, oh my God, the world is coming to an end. It didn't happen. And I remember we got back in the car and the CD started playing.
Oh, when the car, so the CD was in the system already. So when the car turned on, Wild Horses came back on.
What'd I do?
You hit that eject button, threw it out the window. It's like, baby, we're driving. Pack up the props. We're leaving tonight.
Now. I said, pack it up. We're leaving now.
But you know what? You never gave up. people say to me, you know, Shangela, you never gave up. I'm from a family of people who don't give up. You never gave up. You went on. You went back to the pageant system. You won Miss Gay America. You won Miss Gay USFA. You
Miss All-American Goddess.
Miss All-American Goddess. Yeah, let me not.
Okay,
girl,
don't
crowns.
Forget,
Miss
honey. Crowns. Crowns, gowns, I've got them all.
And then you went to RuPaul's Drag Race.
Well, that was the plot twist.
Now, do you remember when I called you? Yeah. I called you up. I said, Alyssa, you got to go over here and audition for this show, baby. They want you to put in a tape. She said, girl, what am I going to go over here and put a tape for?
And what am I going to do? I don't know nothing about that. I don't even know where to start with all that. I think this was before, right when flip phones were getting cameras.
Yes.
Okay? I don't got all that equipment. I don't know how to do this, girl. I got a jazz class to teach. This is overwhelming. Good day. Click.
Click. And I called again. Alyssa.
You were not going to stop. You were not going to stop. And, you know, good thing you didn't write.
Yeah, but, you know, it wasn't just me. Now, you auditioned for season 4 as well, didn't you?
Originally for season 4.
That was your first time auditioning, right?
It was, and you know, it was a little bit more of a, that's what I call my pageant precision training came in, because it was very spliced and diced and cut, and you know, and very articulate. And my name is Justin Johnson, and I am a 31-year-old dance teacher. It was very that. Let me fast forward to season 5, honey. I said, push record. RuPaul, I heard you was looking for America's Next Drag Superstar. Well, if you can find another cross-dresser in the United States of America that can slay me, I'll give you $100,000. And tongue popped. And baby, that was my audition tape.
Lovely, lovely. And you got in. By the way, we hear sirens in the background as the police coming to get either Alyssa and I for having way too much fun in Edmonton, Canada right now. Way too much. As a matter of fact, we'll be right back. And we're back. Yes, I'm still here with Alyssa. So, Alyssa, when you went to Drag Race season 5, right, and then you got a call to come back on All Stars 2, what changed about Alyssa Edwards between season 5 of RuPaul's Drag Race and All Stars 2?
I don't know if I fully imagined myself to be on television. I always thought I'd be behind the scene, mm-hmm. you know, directing my dance company. We were on America's Got Talent, I believe, season 4 in the top 25. And I remember them wanting to interview me, and I just was like, oh, I don't want to do it. I don't want to do it. I don't want to do it. I really want to be behind the camera, you know, directing the kids. I just don't know if I've seen that necessarily for me. And when I watched myself in season 5, I learned so much about myself.
Like know? What? What would you say you learned?
I learned that it's okay to be silly. Mm-hmm. You know, it's okay to laugh at yourself. You know, just get in on the joke, you know, and this is drag. Have fun with it. You know, you can still be precise and articulate and all of those things. But girl, let your hair down.
Yes.
You know, show up for the kiki. You know, go to the barbecue and, you know, share the banana pudding. And if it ain't good, you know, let people know and have fun about it. And then let them know if it is good. I just think that I watched and I allowed myself to grow. I think as an entertainer, it stops when you go, okay, I'm there. You know, and I think I went in going, I'm there. I'd mm-hmm. won all these pageants. I was successful. And I realized you just turned the next chapter. And so when I went back to All Stars, you could see it. Even when I watch it myself, I was just here having a good old gay time.
Yes.
I was laughing at it. I was laughing at my mistakes. And I went with it. And I had, you know, and ultimately in the end, I fell short, you know, capturing the crown. But I think, you know, I could speak for me and you and several other. The bigger win is having this opportunity, you know, touching the hearts of the people all around the world, you know, is really just as big as a crown. Mm-hmm. And I think that's was the separation for me from season 5, setting out for 4 years and then going into All Stars.
When you look back at it, are there any moments? Well, you know what's really funny, I think, is that you never thought you were funny. When I would say, Alyssa, like, that's hilarious, something you would do, you go, girl, why y'all think that's funny? Did you think, yeah, you were very serious.
I thought I was, at least. I thought I was being very serious. And even on my serious days, I think people are still laughing. I'm like, what are y'all laughing about? Damn it, Tejo, I'm being really right with y'all. Really serious right now.
In looking at recent seasons now, you know, let's just talk about season 11. Season 11 just happened. Mm-hmm. And was there, like, do you have any advice for girls that are, cause me too. I mean, I look at this season and, you know, there's no machine. There's no machine that teaches you everything you need to know
no
after
handbook.
Drag Race. There's no handbook.
Mm-hmm. There's none of that. No crash course.
What would you say to those girls coming off of season 11 right now?
You get an opportunity of a lifetime. You got the golden ticket, you know, like to the Chocolate Factory, mm-hmm. you know, to the RuPaul's Drag Race, you know, family, you know, sisterhood, set, whatever you want to call it, organization. You got that. You did your thing. Now, what you do with that is going to carve out your future. And I'm glad I went at 32 because I was like, well, hold up now. You know, I'm about to pay off these damn student loans. I'm about to invest in this dance school. I'm going to buy me a house. And all the things that I've done were things that I set forth. It was a goal. My goals shifted. It went from me being, a pageant queen. It went from me now working on building a brand, okay? Mm-hmm. And I think that if I could give the girls advice, it's kind of like when I was there teaching the dance challenge for them. Look at that, honey. Now they call my phone, baby. She's on the payroll. Is you have this moment. Seize it. Take advantage of it. Mm-hmm. Don't be someone that just sits in the corner and twiddles your thumb, honey. You're on TV. This is an entertainment broadcast. Give it.
Well, you've been that girl. You have, and you have. I've watched you over years continue to push the envelope and go out there and do things. You travel the world. Mm-hmm. What would you say is one of your most favorite places that you visited in the world? You've been a lot of places. You've been all over the world.
All around the world.
Where's one of your most famous or favorite places you've been?
Well, I'm going to give you two.
Okay.
And one involves you.
I'll
never forget being on that, you know, military base.
Amman, Jordan.
In Jordan. I will never forget that because it was like a Bette Midler moment for me. I got to share that with you. It will always be at the top of the list, okay? But I will tell you there's no place like home. Now that I've built a home, I'm very happy there. I'd love to meet people, and I love to travel, and I love to do all that. I think, but now I have what I've always dreamt of, you know, and I can go out my back door, and honey, I'm in a resort. You know, I can sit in my room and close the blinds and write in my journal. And, you know, I'm happily involved.
Yes. Oh, we're going to get there. I'm about to go there, as a matter of fact, after this. But first, let me ask you this. So, Amman, Jordan, right? You said Amman, Jordan's one of your favorite
yes.
places that we went.
Well, the situation.
Let's
the situation.
Walk through this. Let's walk through this trip okay. to Amman, Jordan. So, Alyssa and I have been invited by the United States Army base there in Amman, Jordan. It was their first time, this is back under Obama, being able to celebrate gay pride on their military base there. So the U.S. troops there, the LGBT group on that base and the allies have put together this thing where they invited Alyssa and I to come out and perform. We were doing the Work the World tour at the time, so we were already over in Europe. We had a weekend off, so we're like, let's go do this gig. So Alyssa and I take the flight over, and she asked me, girl, where is a fucking Amman, Jordan, girl? Where we're going? I said, girl, it's going to be great.
Oh,
don't worry.
Gosh.
She said, oh, my gosh, girl. What? She loves saying, what have you gotten us into, girl? Here we go.
Here we go. I'm just thinking a military base, a drag show. This sounds like a recipe. I mean, Amman, Jordan, what are we doing?
And we get there. We go to the hotel. The hotel was lovely.
Oh, stunning.
Stunning. The Marriott in Amman, Jordan was lovely. But then when they picked us up, we weren't directly in Amman. We had to go to an undisclosed location in the middle
and
of
I
the
remember
desert.
In the car, they said, do not look. We got to the guard. Do not look them in the eye. And so I closed my eyes and just looked forward under my sunglasses. And then there's Shangela. Hi. Oh, my gosh. I'm like, she's about to get us shot. We're going to get locked up in a chamber. You know, I'm thinking all the things I've seen on TV.
Oh, my gosh. And the people driving us were so nice, but they kept, you know, explaining where we're going. They're like, oh, yes, and right over there, that area is known as the Triangle of Death. That is where Syria and Jordan and another, I think it was Iran or Iraq, meet. That's the Triangle of Death. And Alyssa's in the backseat going, Triangle of Death?
That all I heard was the death.
Shangela, what have you gotten us into, girl?
Girl, I'm blaming her. I'm like, that's just like today. We got on a roller coaster, baby. And I'm thinking, we're in a mall on a roller coaster. Is this safe? Shangela, I'm blaming you again.
I love it. Girl, but you know what? The best was the look on your face when we got into the actual base. And they took us to our quote-unquote dressing room.
Situation.
And it was a
situation.
It had two twin beds and no mirror.
No mirror. They said, oh, I said, I knew we weren't going to get a vanity. I knew that. Okay. I was prepared for that. I was there to support the troops. Okay. Okay. Is there a mirror?
You guys don't mind showering together, do you? So, you know, we know each other well. We'll shower together.
We'll shower together.
They're like, no, we mean with the whole base.
Baby.
Oh. Okay.
I have so much respect for those men and women. And, you know.
But we put on our show, didn't we?
Lovely show. And I'll tell you, it was a memory I will just cherish, because even men that had never seen these morale shows are there to, the pick me up, and you know, to put a smile on someone's face and to see them smile and listen to our stories, and you know, meeting guys after, and they're like, you know, I've never really, you know, met a drag queen before,
yeah,
but
so
I can relate to you, and in hearing you about your childhood and you know your father and your situation, like I really enjoyed this, and I thought that was the coolest thing for me.
It really was. It was great. Now, you walking across that gravel in your Louboutins, that wasn't cool.
That was not. That was not. But you know what? A wonderful experience. And, you know, it's like something that you just, like I said in that book, when I write my book, oh my gosh.
Oh my gosh. So many stories.
It's going to be the memoirs. It's a war, because there's a lot of wars going on in my head.
Ha. Huh.
Okay.
Oh my gosh. Remember when you were obsessed with Lana Del Rey? There's a war in my mind.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, girl?
Lana Del Rey. And, you know, this book is going to be, it's going to be something. It's going to be incredible.
Well, we talked about Amon Jordan was one of your favorite places. You said home was your other.
I know.
Is it also because you have your Beyond Belief dance company there?
It is
there?
100. I see what you did there.
Oh, segue. Come on.
I think, of course it is. You know, now at this particular point in my life, I can say, you did it. Mm-hmm. You did it. Oh, girl, you did it. From the hood to Hollywood and, you know, around the world, you did it. And now, you know, I used to feel very selfish when I would lead the studio kids.
Mm-hmm.
I used to feel like a little guilty, like, okay, this is not what they signed up for. They came here to be on your company. You're the director. You need to be home at all times. And then I thought, you know, I need to give them space to breathe. I need to let them study underneath other, you know, educators and mentors. And it was a very, like, I became a professional juggler at that point because it was a trying time. And then it's like, I don't want to say the older you become, but the more seasoned, the more understanding of this thing called life, because I'm very proud of where I am at this point. I know that as much as I love being on stage,
mm-hmm.
okay, I love it. I was born to do it. My heart lies there at that studio. That's
What's
my passion.
What's your proudest moment? Looking at all the years all the students, name me a moment where you has made you cry. If you wake up in the morning, you're writing your journal about something that happened at the studio, what tears you up?
The opening of the studio. Because I think for me, being, you know, from the family background, I hope, which all of you got to see just a little glimpse into on my Netflix original series, Dancing Queen.
Dancing Queen.
I love how you left that young. Okay, you left out the youngest sweet.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
I think I was like against the odds. You know, mm-hmm. I didn't have someone saying, be a businessman. I didn't understand that. You know, I was like, how am I going to do this? I haven't never taken any business classes. I mean,
Yeah, and let's be honest, we grew up poor.
Oh, we didn't have anyone to sign for credit,
and all that kind of stuff. So how did you end up getting that studio?
Oh, okay. You know what? It fell into my hands.
How?
Because I was teaching at a ballet academy.
In Dallas?
In Mesquite and Bit and Bender. Oh my gosh. And they taught piano and ballet. And I came in and I was with, you know, a friend of mine, and we were doing like a, kind of like a jazz competitive company because they didn't offer that. So more or less, we were like renting space, I guess.
Okay, to teach.
But we were like kind of like not one whole group because they weren't going to have that.
Uh-huh.
But they were very supportive of the program. And the director of the program had MS, and it just got too severe, and she was closing the studio. And I'll never forget this. The landlord was there when the studio was closed, and they were around for like 20 plus years. And he says, he walks in to when I'm teaching, it was the one whole wall was like just all glass. And he says to me, you know, I see you in here every Sunday with these kids, and I can tell you really like this. They're closing. Have you ever thought about taking this over? And I just looked at him. He's like, I think you'd be really good at it. And it seems like you got a lot of people in here that obviously think you'd be good at it. And I'll never forget Michelle Sherrard. Goodness gracious, one of my guard. I mean, truly, truly an earth angel, you know, kind of like a second mom to me.
Mm-hmm.
She says, he's definitely interested. I looked at that woman like, what the hell?
How old were you?
Oh my gosh, 20, what? 22, 23.
Wow.
Baby.
And they're about to drop a whole studio into your hands, a whole business?
Well, I mean, we did just like, you know, we didn't take the second building, just the first building. Mm-hmm. And he said, here's what I'm going to do. I can tell you're a good guy and you have good intentions. We did like kind of like a sliding scale where the rent would be like, okay, this is the first year. This is the second year. This is the third year. And, you know, I was like, and he's like, and I don't want to like hold you to that. So we signed leases every 6 months. Well, you never know. You know,
yeah,
I started this as I created this in a garage. And, you know, here I am 16 years later.
With a television show surrounding it.
A television show.
How
America's
big is
Got
the studio
Talent.
Now?
A new studio now.
Oh.
Hello.
Hello.
She's upgraded. You know, the studio now is perfect because it's more, I like to say company.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're a family. You know, you pull up, it says Beyond Belief Dance Company, a family of champions. You know, 3 rooms,
have
a lovely
kids?
Office. I would say on the competitive company, anywhere, I think 40 is max that I want to get at. I mean, there was a time when there was like, oh my gosh, it was more of a team thing. And there would be like, you know, 140 plus.
Oh my gosh.
And it was just too hard for me, you know.
So Beyond Belief, one of your proudest moments is having the studio. That's amazing because I'm
getting the key
it.
And
yeah.
Watching that and creating the name and opening the door and standing there going, you did it. You did it. You did it. And, you know, and then seeing the success and watching it thrive and grow and children coming out of it, you know, generations graduating high school. You know, I just went to Booker T. Washington's high school for the visual performing arts. I went with... 2 of my graduating seniors.
Uh-huh.
It was mentor night. And it was just so special to me. It was just so special for me to be there and be a part of their puzzle, you know?
Yeah. It's amazing. It's amazing to see that. And I love that, you know, that's a part of who you are and that's a part of Texas and it's a part of your life at home. When we talk about home, we also talk about who is in that home or who are you excited to be home sometimes to see,
mm-hmm.
Even though he doesn't live with you. You are currently in a relationship?
Yeah, I am. You know, I learned that... dating was something I couldn't really run from forever.
But why? Was dating hard for you?
I think because I was asked once, you know, do you have a boyfriend? Yes, I do, Beyond Belief Dance Company. I was asked, do you have a partner? Yes, I do. Beyond Belief Dance Company.
And, oh, here she goes.
I think for so many years I was married to that.
Uh-huh.
So I didn't go through that boy crazy phase. You know what I mean?
But you like boys.
I did. And well, I do. Of course. I mean, girl. But I didn't think that I needed to be like, I had friends that were always like, you know, boyfriends.
And but back in the day, was it difficult dating as a drag entertainer? Would you hide the fact that you were a drag queen? Or would you be like, by the way, baby, I'm also a drag queen?
Look at Miss Gay Justin. There was no hiding. My eyebrows were tweezed for the gods. Honey, that eyebrow was yanked and arched. And, you know, I walked with the twist. So I've always been transparent who I am. I've always been unapologetic. You know, I'm socially awkward when it came to that, too. It was like, well, obviously, we all seen on the Netflix show. What am I going to say to a boy? You know, and this is before dating, you know, through apps.
Right.
I don't think I ever put forth any attention to that.
Well, but did you ever have a horrible dating experience? Like, was there ever one date that you were like, oh, baby, that turned me off for dating for a good hot minute?
No, I just was like, you know what? I mean.
Nobody ever, like, stiffed you on a bill or got to the dinner table and put his foot up on the table, ate a toenail, nothing crazy?
Girl, no. I'm telling you right now, I just wasn't bothered. I was like, I got to get to the studio. We got another number. We got a choreograph put together. This piece has got to be spectacular. We got to go.
So how'd you meet your current boyfriend?
Tinder.
Really?
And you know, something funny. I remember we were all sitting around dinner and they're like, Justin, you're going to have to get on a dating app. I'm like, I am not. I refuse, absolutely refuse to get on a dating app.
And but why? Why would you say that?
What am I going to do on a dating app? What am I going to say? I'm too old for that. What am I going to look like on a dating app? You know? And then I thought, oh, okay, well maybe Christian Mingle or something like that.
Oh, hallelujah. So,
and shout out to Christian Mingle out there. And, it was just one of those things where he signed me up, and then I found it interesting to like do the whole swipe right, swipe left. Well, I like to actually read the profiles, and I'm like, okay, well, this picture doesn't match this profile, but okay, and you know, just it became kind of very like entertaining to me.
Uh huh.
And I ran across Manny's profile.
Yes.
He was in a leotard. He also teaches dance. And I thought, why I like this leotard. Swipe right.
He was in a leotard in his photo?
Yes, he was.
A dance leotard.
Yes.
And you're like, oh, baby, I love dance. Swipe right. And was it like a...
And he swiped right, too.
Okay.
And then we start chatting. And it was like, and to hold my attention, it's got to be interesting. Okay. Mm-hmm. So you can't be like the first words, hi, how are you? Are you looking to hook up? You know, or, you know, in the gay world, they get right to it, honey. Are you a top or are you a bottom? What are we going to do here? Well, I'm like, I'm just ready to, like, ask what your credit score is at this point. So,
do you like Mexican food?
Okay. You know, it just, we start talking about dance and him being a teacher, and he teaches at a high school, and he teaches modern and ballet, and it was so natural.
Mm-hmm.
And then he was just like, you have beautiful eyes. And, you know, I mean, it was off the top as well.
Yes. The Notebook.
It was very The Notebook. It was very sweet.
Here she goes.
And then he asked me on a date, and I used to get really nervous. And I was nervous, but not as much. I sat down. It was an instant connection.
Did he know about Alyssa Edwards? Had he seen Drag Race? Because he's gay.
Yeah. Well, I know we're live right now, but there, you know, look. You can't categorize because I haven't seen but maybe one episode of Will and Grace. I am so sorry, Will and Grace.
Oh, Alyssa!
I am that gay, a bad gay. I lost my gay card.
I'm going to slap you on the hand,
okay.
Bitch.
And so at this point, I did let him know that I was on a reality TV program. It didn't really come up, I guess. Uh-huh. You know what I mean? So, and then when we talked about it, he was like, I've seen that show before. And I was like, okay. And it never really was like, I guess we just didn't talk about it a whole lot in the beginning.
Right. Y'all played it low, which means he was
not played
was
it low.
Nice
we our conversations were always built around dance and you know, the studio and his class and Alvin Ailey, and we shared so many, like, you know, drag is My work, something I love. But like I said, you know, I think dance was, and so we kind of had that connection, you know?
Yeah, y'all had a strong connection based
but
on
he's very supportive
into.
Of, you know, Alyssa. And he's been to DragCon with me, and his mother loves the show.
Uh-huh.
Loves the show. And in fact, I remember, she loves Latrice Royale.
Oh, does she?
The mother loves Latrice Royale.
Yeah, my mom's favorite was always either Willem, you, or Bianca. And I'm like, well, Mom, I'm also here, you know. She's like, oh, yeah, yeah, I love you. But can you get me to meet Bianca, please? I'm like, Miss Deborah, Mama.
It was just so funny for me because, you know, his mom, I FaceTimed her one night with Latrice. Oh, my gosh, girl. And she doesn't speak English. She can understand it, but doesn't speak it. It's kind of hard for her. She was ecstatic. And, you know, but I'm thankful that I, you know, gave that app a chance and gave dating a chance, you know, because I never really thought having a significant other would bring me so much joy.
Well, other
it's
things
so
you
nice.
Want. You want kids?
He does.
Mm-hmm.
I have
you,
a lot
you?
At the studio. I think once upon a time I was, I think I had written down in my journal that I had to have kids by this age. And I just think my book of life is already written. It's just now being read out loud. I'm going with it. I'm not opposed to it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he definitely wants to be a father.
What about you at home when you're by yourself? What else do you like to do when you're there at the house? Do you cook?
No, we tried that one night.
What do you mean we tried that one night?
When we were cooking spaghetti, it was just the whole charade of going to the grocery store and I'm like, well, my mother cooked it like this. And he's like, well, my mom did it like this. I'm like, okay, well, let's Google. Let's meet in the middle. It was just something. We were cooking spaghetti, girl.
Yeah.
I mean, it was so
But do
much.
You have a dish that Justin could show up to your house and be like, bitch, I made this blank and it's the bomb.
Ice cream sundae.
Girl, that ain't no, girl, you ain't making nothing. You put ice cream in a bowl.
But you
got to
get caramel and toppings and, you know, you got to jazz it up, honey. Some broken up Nutter Butter bars. I mean, girl.
Girl, okay. All right, fine. We know you ain't cooking nothing, but you do love to host a party, sis.
Oh, now that I love. In fact, right now I am, you know, getting ready. We're getting geared up for the July 4th. You know this. I mean, look at all the house, you know, now that we have the house.
Yeah.
You know, it's like. The dinners, the parties. I love all of that.
What's your favorite holiday?
Well, Christmas, but I love Halloween.
Mm-hmm. You know most drag queens don't like Halloween. Do you live for Halloween?
I do.
What's your favorite costume you've ever been?
I love going to the haunted house. You know that, girl. I want to go to the haunted houses. I want to do the haunted hayrides. I want to go to the fair. It's the fair time in Dallas. I love that. I love the dressing up. I love we have dress up night with the kids at the studio. In fact, on Dancing Queen, we hosted the Halloween party with the kids, and it was like I think their first time seeing me in drag. And no, I love Halloween. It's fun.
Growing up, did y'all celebrate Halloween a lot?
Oh, it's huge. Yeah, we would always do like makeshift costumes, pirates, ghosts, clowns, spooky clowns. I remember doing all. It was so much fun to me.
Girl, spooky, ookie.
Kooky.
Well, speaking of, okay, so in doing Halloween, a lot of times you get to dress up and do all the extras. We drag queens, we love to dress up. One thing that helps us do all the extras, here comes a segue, y'all, is putting on makeup. Speaking of makeup, you have a brand new palette.
Oh my gosh, look at, talk about a trick of fate. Now that we done got through the plot twist, now we got a trick of fate. I don't know if that makes sense, but it sounds good. Never My Wildest Dreams. Now that I don't think I ever saw coming, ever just hit me upside the head.
Yeah, if y'all don't know, and I don't know what rock you're living under, but Alyssa Edwards has a brand new makeup palette with Anastasia Beverly Hills, an amazing collaboration. And when you get the palette, I have the palette, which I love the colors. You know, I use the yellow. It's called Yellow Brick, right?
Uh-huh.
I use Texas Made. I use BBDC. Mm-hmm. They're so highly pigmented. There's browns, there's whites, there's a lovely coal black. It's delicious. What inspired you? Because you really had a hand in putting these colors together in the palette.
100%.
What?
2 years
what
in the making
you?
When this was, you know, set in front of me. they were inspired by my body of work. And I've always been inspired by beauty. I grew up with four sisters. I loved playing in makeup. I remember, you know, working in the Townies Mall glamour shots, okay?
Ooh, girl, the over-the-shoulder bitch.
Ooh, girl.
And, yes.
You know, it's very that, oh, girl, she already had her sister. you know, I loved watching my mom put on makeup. You know, I loved it. And for me, putting on makeup, it gave me a sense of courage, me getting in drag. I'll never forget that very first time getting in drag, what I felt, you know, what I felt. And it was like, almost like, you know, superhero powers.
Mm-hmm. So when I was a drag queen, you can get away with a lot.
Oh my gosh. You can be anything you want. You can morph. You can transform. I think for me, I was like living this like, you know, Clark Kent kind of life, you know, and just an average guy. And then at night I morphed into a listen. It was like all bets off, you know. But I think this collaboration is so important to me because, like I said, 2 years in the making, I poured my heart into it. You look at the names, Beyond Belief Dance Company, Unicorn Tribe, HOE for the House of Edwards, and DDD for Drop Dead Gorgeous, and Beast and Backrolls, and The Yellow Brick Road, my favorite movie, and the headliner, The Supreme. They were so open to customizing this to not only my brand, but who I am as a person. When I open that palette, I see a journey, I see a career, I see a life. Mm-hmm. You know, and I knew I needed one palette. Okay, I can pack one palette now. If I have a TV appearance, if I have a day, a pride gig in the park, or I need that late night 1 a.m. Comedy Central beat,
yes.
I got it all right there. You know, I got it all. If I want to paint up the kids at the competition and we need a purple and pink, we're ready to go. Rock and roll.
And y'all, we had so much fun today here in Edmonton, Canada. We ran over to the mall, which in Edmonton, they actually have the largest. Okay, let me not get these facts wrong, bitch. But they have the largest mall, no, in all of North America, maybe in all of the world. There are over 600 stores in this mall. There is a roller coaster theme park, which we got on the roller coaster today. We screamed. My hair was big and bush. But also, we walked into Sephora and there was your palette. How does that make you feel when you see a picture of yourself in drag, a drag queen, right next to all these other, you know, beauty gurus and these legendary brands, like the brands we grew up with, Urban Decay and
Marc Jacobs, MAC Cosmetics.
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes it's surreal.
Mm-hmm.
And I say sometimes because there are moments where I go, you know, a journey of a million miles begins with a single step. And that first step for you was that step of faith. You believed in yourself. You never gave up. You believed in perseverance. You believed that there was a dream and a go out there with your name on it. And you was going to claim it like the lottery ticket. And but I think surreal in this moment because like today meeting those kids and they're kind of taking photos. It's just like I didn't think even in my brightest, you know, days or moments that this is what it would be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, definitely in your darkest, you start to question, am I doing the right thing? I'm not. Am I living up to my, you know, full potential? I'm not. You start to do all these things. And I think, you know, as gay men and drag queens in our time growing up, you know, in the South and, difficult. You question yourself. You question your path. You question just so much of your being. And so today it's like, it just, oh gosh, it's so rewarding. It's like you never gave up. So, and that's the beauty in it. That's the beauty because it's like you remembered in those darkest times the sun would always come back out. And it's moments like that that are like, okay, girl, you're the living proof.
Huh.
If you can do it, honey, Alyssa Edwards, you know, that's a name a little gay boy in Mesquite done conjured up. You know, if you can do it, anybody can do it.
In moments of celebration like this, you know, we like to celebrate with our friends, and some friends are with us, and we've had some friends that have gone on Sahara Whitney Page.
Yes.
We've had family that's gone. Who would you, whether they're with us or not, most like to, like when you see something like that happen, who do you like
my
to
mother,
pick up the
course.
Phone and call
my,
or share with?
You know, my mom, of course. And I had a little mental, moment. It's like when this came out, it was like, I wish my mother was here that we could celebrate this together. Mm-hmm. But I know, you know, I think with me growing up in church and my belief that she is. And I think I know I'm 100% confident that she's had a hand in all of this.
Uh-huh.
You know, and that's always kind of been there. You know, it's like, well, you being at the Oscars with your mom. You know,
yeah, with Jennifer
that.
Or with the SAG, the Star Is Born
premiere,
yeah.
No, I even thought to myself, oh my gosh, if you had a wedding, who would walk you down the aisle? And I'm like, but my granny's here, and I'm very close with her. I love her.
How does she feel about the makeup in the store? Has she been there to see it?
My granny called me up. She said, Justin, oh my gosh, oh my heavens, look at you. She's so proud.
Yes.
But, you know, honestly, I could tell my granny today I won $1 off a scratch off. Oh, I'm talking about the lottery. Elijah will give me a ticket tonight. And she would be like, well, you deserve it. She's very just, I mean, she's always been that, you know, impact on my life.
Mm-hmm. I saw she came to a show of yours.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now, and there's been a journey, I think, with my grandma, too, in learning about what drag is and how that plays into our lives and you know, how that world worked,
because
it's so foreign to
them. They thought we probably wanted to be women.
Yeah, my grandma said, I hear you going to the grocery store with a wig on. I don't understand. Can you call me? So she was like, your Aunt Sheila told me that you're going to the grocery store, wig on. Are you become a woman? You're on TV? I don't understand. So I had to call her, but it forced me to call her. Because, you know, when I was doing drag, I never had the combo with them that I was doing drag. I thought, I'm over here in L.A. doing it. There's no reason for me to have to call Grim and be like, here are pictures of Shangela. There's no reason for them to know any of that.
I didn't either at first. At first, absolutely not. I didn't want to put my granny through that turmoil. You know,
how did it come about? How did she find out?
Well, you know, my uncle, he's gay.
Mm-hmm.
And you know how he found out. Mm-hmm. I was on a poster, a flyer in the S4.
At the club in Dallas.
And he seen it. He said, hold up. That's my nephew right there. And, you know, I kind of hid it, so I didn't want to talk about it because I just thought maybe I should hide this. You know, maybe is this weird? Is it, I don't know. Is it just.
Yeah, because we didn't have, Drag Race on TV. The world wasn't like, oh, bring on your drag. We all love and accept drag.
And we've came a long way. We've got a long way to go. But we've made a lot of progress. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I just didn't really understand fully what was going
on. So did he tell your granny?
He said, Justin, this is really something you should be very proud of. And I'm like, I don't know. I just don't want to talk about this. And he's like, you absolutely should talk about this. You now have a voice. People are looking up to you. I mean, you know, he was in the theater. And
this is your Uncle Bobby.
Yes, my Uncle Bobby. Yes. And so, you know, I was like, okay, what would Granny think? He said, Justin, she loves you. That's what she would think. And so I was really hesitant. I was like, oh, I can't do this. And I told my granny. I said, Granny, you know I loved Halloween as a kid. I loved playing dress up. She said, from birth. And I said, well, I dress up now. She said, well, you're dressed up right now. What do you mean?
Clothes.
And I said, well, I dress up. And she said, uh-huh, I've seen that before. We used to go to church every Sunday. Did you forget? I did not. She knew what I was talking about. She wanted me to say it.
Uh-huh.
And I said, well, I dress up. She goes, so why don't you tell me what you're dressing up in? And I said, well, I wear a wig and fingernails. And she said, well, this sounds colorful and fine.
And that was that.
She said, Justin, let me tell you. I've loved you. I loved you when I found out your mother was having you. And you are my grandson, and ain't no wig, no costume, or no fingernail gonna change that. And I had that little moment, you know, like Tu Wong Fu, because I was ready to say, I'm not asking you to accept me. I'm just asking you to acknowledge and move on. I was ready. I had my speech locked and loaded, lined up. I didn't need to even bring that speech out. And that was it. And then I told her, I never really ran home to brag or whatever, or talk about it. But she said to me, how is it going with you cross-dressing? And I said, well, Granny, now, I don't think it's really necessarily that. Well, you know, when you're dressing up in your costumes. I said, it's going really good. And she said, I'd like to see all this. Yes, it was very interesting. She loved it. She said, look just like your mother.
Oh, my gosh. Isn't it funny who they think that we look like? My mom, I'll never forget, Miss Deborah, first time I got in drag and she saw me, she goes, and she kept looking. I could feel her staring at me. We were driving in the car. I was in drag. I was running late. I had to get to the show. She was visiting in L.A. She was over there on the passenger side. And I'm in drag. And you know me, I get bothered. And I could tell she was looking at me out of this corner of her eye. And I said, what is it, Mom? Just what is it? Come on, just give it to me. What are you? You keep staring at me like, I know I'm in drag. You know, is it uncomfortable for you? Like, what is it? And she said, no, you just look like this girl I went to school with named Beverly.
Shout out to Beverly out there.
Shout out Beverly Wadley.
Okay.
Girl, yes. Well, you know what? It's amazing the journey that we've had up until this point. Family, the friends, the touring around the world, the fans, the TV shows, the products, the sponsorships, the prize. And tonight, we're going out here to Edmonton, Canada, the Evolution Wonder Lounge, to put on a show together, you and I. And I just want to say before we go, thank you. Sis, this ride has been amazing. Mm-hmm. There's always ups and downs. You were right there when I broke my leg. Remember, you came to the house and you were like, girl, didn't y'all hire a gorilla?
We did. A dancing gorilla.
Oh my gosh.
A dancing monkey in a tutu. It was like a circus. Because I was like, we need to take a circus over there. I was like, let's have something for fun. And they're like, well, what did we? I was like, just hire the whole damn circus.
Yeah, I was recovering at my mom's house in Dallas. I'm sitting there with one leg is in
and
a full on
cash and friend that was like, has a friend that does these like singing telegrams.
Oh my God.
And we're like, well, you know, and didn't even know it was going to be a gorilla. I honestly thought it was going to be like a big panda bear or something. Girl, I fell out. It was so good. It was
y'all
epic.
Showed up to the door with a singing gorilla who had a whole song. She had
a whole song. It was so epic. It was so epic, yes. And you know, I want to tell you too, thank you. Thank you for inspiring me. Thank you for pushing me. Thank you for encouraging me to, you know, find the funny within and to realize that, you know, there's so much more to life than the bubble we live in. And I think I wouldn't have explored that. You know, you taking that leap of faith and moving to LA, I thought you was nuts. I thought, well, what is he doing?
I just rolled out.
You rolled out. And I'm thinking, this is just don't make no sense to me. And I think, you know, I look at your continuous perseverance. If someone said to describe you, I would say perseverance, you know, just in life. And that is so admirable to me. And that's why we're brothers.
That
we're
is sisters, true.
Family, friends, mother and daughter, whatever it is, it's a relationship, it's a bond. And I feel like, you know, the more seasoned we become, the more we're able to, we connect on a level where we don't have to talk every day. We don't talk every week. We can pick right up though when we do.
The minute.
And I love that.
I love it too. Well, sis, thank you for being here. Thank y'all for listening. Make sure that you go get Alyssa's new palette. Make sure you check her out on everything. You know, she pops up just about everywhere. The makeup palettes can be found in Sephora and where
Ulta's.
Beauty brands are sold. Ulta and different places. It's called Alyssa Edwards in the Anastasia Beverly Hills palette section. As well as make sure that you continue to subscribe, rate, and review this podcast, Shangela, right here. We're always so excited to talk to you. Alyssa, I hope you'll come back and chat with us again.
Oh, I'm coming back.
Oh, you gonna come back again?
Yeah, stay tuned, honey, just when y'all thought it was over.
Ha, the remix.
Okay, the remix.
I love you, bitch.
I love you too. Bye.